Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 46. And the reason why I'm reading this out of Luke's Gospel rather than the end of Matthew, chapter 7, which gives us the same account, the wise man and the foolish man. In Matthew's Gospel, you have things in a dispensational order. You have things as an outward testimony and witness. You have two Gadarene demoniacs, for example. In Mark, you only have one. Well, in Luke's Gospel, you get the moral order of things. And it gets right down into the heart and soul. And you'll notice, if you'll compare this little story here, this illustration that the Lord Jesus gives in Luke's Gospel, with the same illustration in Matthew chapter 7 toward the end, you'll notice a few words that are different. And I'm going to leave that for you, since there's not too much time tonight, to compare it for yourselves and see if what I say isn't true. Can you bear that out? In just a few words that you'll notice that are different, in Luke's Gospel, it should get right down into your soul. It's the moral order of things. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And the Lord Jesus, you know, his full title is Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord means that that person has rights over us. If you have accepted him, confessed him with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, according to Romans 10 and 9, you have changed masters. And you're not serving the old master, you've taken on a new master, the Lord. And he has rights over you. Jesus, God is Savior, Jehovah is Savior. And Christ is the anointed one, the appointed one of God, the sent one, the one of God's providing, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says, Lord, Lord, he is talking about those who confess his name as Lord, but not in reality in the heart. And do not the things which I say, whosoever cometh to me, have you come to him? If you've come to Jesus, he hasn't cast you out. You belong to him, you're his. And heareth my sayings. Do you have an ear to hear what the Lord Jesus has to say to you? He says it through the word of God. And doeth them. Does it get down to your feet? Does it get down to my feet? Is there reality with us? Do we mean business with the Lord? Down to my feet. Doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and every one of you is building a house. I'm building a house, and you're building a house. And just because when I was 25 years old and got married and went to out to provide for a wife and family, doesn't mean that's when I started building the house. You start when you're very young. The youngest one in here is building a house, and that house can be seen as your individual life. That house can also be seen as the family unit, and it can also be seen as the assembly. But I want to talk about it a little tonight as your individual life. And accept the Lord, build the house. The Lord. This is Psalms 127, verse 1. The Lord, the one with rights over us. Except we give him his rightful place in our life. Except the Lord build that house, you're laboring in vain. Emptiness. He built an house and he digged deep. You don't get that little expression in Matthew. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. That rock is Christ. Have you been digging? Have you ever dug? You know, sometimes there's a lot of mud on top of the rock before you can get down to where you have to lay a good foundation. And digging deep is repentance, that's all. Luke gets it home to my conscience and to my soul. Have you been digging, or are you just shuffling along in your life? Building your house without digging deep. You have to dig deep to get down to the rock. It takes repentance. It takes a self-judgment before God in his presence to be able to separate the precious from the vile. It's just simply a matter of being in the Lord's presence intelligently with his mind to know what he would have for you and setting aside all the rest. And it's not a legal thing. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And if your delight is in the Lord, the desires of your heart will be the same. That's just what he'll have for you. That be the same as his will for you, the desires of your heart. He wants to bless us. And the path of blessing, to stand in the presence of God and receive from Himself, is just simply standing there and receiving what He has to offer. And when we receive that, we're setting aside everything else that gets in the way. And so we dig deep. This man digged deep. There's a work in the soul there. There's reality. And laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, and the storm beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The rock is Christ. Bring the Lord Jesus into everything that you do. And the way you do that, in order to have intelligence in the things of God, so that you can make good decisions in your life as you build your house, is to read the Scriptures. And if you're not developing habits of seizing every opportunity to read the Scriptures, of forming habits to read the Scripture morning and evening, you're not building on that rock. You're leaving the Lord outside. You won't have any intelligence about the things of the Lord. You won't be able to make good decisions when it comes to vital things. And you're at the age now, the years that I see represented here between, say, 14, 15, and 25 years old, you're making decisions now that are vital as to the formation of your house. And you really don't have the experience and intelligence to form these decisions according to your own natural intellect. And your only safety is to be near to the Lord Jesus. He has the wisdom and intelligence for you. And if your delight is in Him and you want to please Him, He's going to guide you along in the path, and you won't make a mess of it. The floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And remember, if you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and I know most of you have, it doesn't mean that the storms aren't coming and the floods aren't rising. They do. But you'll be able to stand against them with the Lord Jesus, for a threefold cord is not easily broken. You bring the Lord in to every situation in your life. You bring the Lord in to the choosing of a mate. You bring the Lord in to the choosing of a job. You bring the Lord in to the choosing of a place to live and where you're going to worship and all these things. That's a threefold cord. You, the Lord, and whatever decision it is that you have to make, and it is not easily broken. And you'll be able to stand against these storms that come in, that are coming in. They will come into your life. And I can look at you, dear young people, tonight, and I can go back 10 years and see a group of people here then. And 10 years later, where are they? The storms have come, the floods have risen, and have beaten against their house, and some have stood and some have fallen. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. And all our natural desires to just do what we want to do without the Lord being brought in and given His place is a foundation on the sand. And you will prove that one way or the other. And in 10 years from now, you can look back on the 10 years of your life and you will say sand, you will say rock, one or the other. But what happens to this one, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell? Here comes the stream, here comes the flood, here comes the storms. Same song, second verse, to this man who built his foundation on the sand. And it fell. And the ruin, in Matthew it just says, the fall of that house was great. In Luke it says, ruin, ruin. Do you want to write across your life ruin? You want to come to the end of your life and look back and just have to say regretfully, right across the face of it all, ruin, I left the Lord out? Or do you want to say joy in the Holy Ghost, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? It is a matter of how you build your foundation. It is a matter of bringing the Lord Jesus into every decision that you make. Back in the 60s, in the Vietnam skirmish, they called it, when I was over there as a participant in that, there was a man whose name was Dieter Dengler, and he is the only man that was ever captured by the enemy forces and was able to escape and get back to his troops, get back to friendly territory. Others had escaped, but they were recaptured. Dengler is the only one that ever got back, and his story is really an intrigue. The man had diligence and purpose of heart and objectives. He was a man of character, naturally speaking. He went through the Warner Springs training camp right down here south of LA, north of San Diego. I went through it. It's about a week long, and they put us in a prison camp situation with the wire fences and the guard towers and the spotlights and the guards with M1 rifles, and they would get us up for interrogation, and they would slap us around and all that to simulate a prisoner of war situation. And I went through it. And Dengler went through it just a little while before I did. And in our debriefing, the instructors that were there said he was the only one that had ever escaped from that camp three times. Most never even try it. He had escaped three times. If you escape from that simulated training situation there and get to what they called a safe house, there was a sandwich and a glass of milk waiting for you there, so it gave you a lot of incentive. After a week of raw oysters and fish heads, you got pretty hungry. And he was motivated such that he escaped three times and made it. The guard would eat an apple and come down to the core, he'd throw it down to the ground, and he'd run over there and pick it up and eat it in order to maintain strength and nourishment. Dengler was an East German refugee. He came over here, escaped from East Germany, joined the armed forces and went in to the Navy and aviation and was flying over there. He was shot down and he was captured. And he was over in Laos and he had to overpower his guards to break free. He spent about 2 or 3 weeks after that over there in the jungles of Laos, evading capture. And he did it because he was determined and he had an objective and he wanted to get back. He knew what he wanted to do. He didn't just settle for captivity. And he got back. And he used every sinew of strength that he had. When he was captured, he weighed 165 pounds. And when he was recovered, when he was brought back, when the helo came in and spotted him and came down and picked him up, he weighed 92 pounds. And they nourished him back to health. And if a man like that in natural spheres can exercise such diligence and determination, why can't we as believers mean business with the Lord? What hath robbed the seeming beauty of the idols of this earth? Not a sense of law or duty, but a view to peerless worth. And that's our object. That's the one that nerves us on, and he's the one that's with us. Can we do it for him who loved us and gave himself for us? It will be for our own blessing and for the glory of him.